Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless each one of you. It's a joy to be here. I was telling the group when we were praying, I could hardly sleep last night because I'm so excited to share a message with you that I believe will encourage you. God is good. He's always good. You know, first I want to thank the saints here for all the many gifts that I've received over the many years. Thank you. Much appreciated. And I also want to thank you for your love and concern for my parents when they were here. It's hard to believe, but my dad's gone 9 years and my mother 5. But they enjoyed coming here. And thank you for the love that you showed them. And I'm rejoicing there with the Lord, right? And that one day I'll be with them. I'm not too sure when that's going to be, but we got so many things to look forward to. We have a future and a hope if you're a believer. This morning I want to share a little about my journey and how the Lord has led me during the many years of my life. At the age of 10, first I want to tell you what the title is. This message. Who would have ever thought? Okay? And as I go on, you'll maybe understand why I chose that. So I want to give him praise and glory. At the age of 10, I trusted the Lord as my Savior. My mother became a believer when I was 5, and I started hearing the gospel. And she started taking me to church. And between 5 and 10, she constantly shared the gospel with me. She would often share John 3:16, and I do it all the time down in Miami with these kids. And she would do this, for God so loved Glenn, that he gave his one and only son for Glenn. If Glenn believes in him, Glenn won't perish, but Glenn will have eternal life. And I remember that night, I was on my bed, and that night, I trusted Christ. It was March 16th, I was 10 years old. I got my second birthday. And my spiritual birthday. I often say to the kids out in Miami, I got 2 birthdays. They look at me, are you crazy? We're going to celebrate. We got another birthday. Yes. So during my teens, I had my ups and downs like most teenagers. My early 20s, I was really struggling with certain issues. I was depressed and I didn't understand a lot. Maybe you've been there at times. And, I didn't understand some situations. It was at this time, in my early 20s, my dear sister, who I loved dearly, she was growing spiritually, and she leaned in and encouraged me. And I remember at that time, I realized what I needed for each day, a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I was missing. So, I realized that, like I said, the Lord wanted to bring meaning and purpose into my life through a minute-by-minute relationship with Him. And that's what He wants for everybody. You want joy? That'll give you joy in the midst of the darkness. From the age of 18 to 20, I went to my BCIT. I studied business management, accounting. I graduated and I worked at UBC in the Internal Audit Department there for a few years. In 1972, which is a few years ago, I started with my father, who had a painting contractor, and I actually did physical painting and also was his bookkeeper. Yeah, as the years went on from 21 to 26, I sensed the Lord was leading me into a different direction. You ever been there? But I didn't know what. So in 76, I had an opportunity to go to Libby with Frank Haggerty. He's passed now, but he was here for a while in this assembly. And we went down to Bolivia. February 13, 1976, is a date that I'll never forget. And on that day, I made a choice to go with him, and it changed my life. Have you those moments? Where one decision can change your life, and it did. We went to Miami first. And it was at that time I met several people at the little chapel called Bible Truth. And I'm still going there. Some great friends there. But he took me there. And then I flew down to Bolivia and had some time there with him. And I came back to Vancouver. I started working with my father again. Yeah, during the years of 77 to 79, I would frequently go to Miami. You understand? The winters here are not that great, are they? Are they? Have they changed? I don't know. I'm not here in the winter. I do come up for Christmas, and I can't wait to get back to Miami. But through those years, I've gone, hey, what are the temperatures down in Miami? I'm catching the next plane. Yeah, and I got to know these people at Bible Truth Chapel, a nice group of people. I define my 20s, from 20 to 30, as my boot camp years. God's always working our lives, and definitely that was my boot camp. He was developing my character, and I was learning to trust Him. Again, I knew there was something more for me. But the question was what? I was unsettled. In 79, I decided to go to Miami for 1 year. 1 year, yeah. And my friends told me about a particular college, Miami Christian College, where they had a 1 year Bible certificate, and I was interested in putting aside a year to study the Bible. But they also offered a psychology and counseling degree. And I thought, well, let me go down, see what the 1 year does, and then I might end up at four. So I headed down. And, it was 40 years ago, actually, that I headed down there. It was July, 40 years ago. It's just hard to believe. I did my 1 year, and then I continued on psychology and counseling, and so it was a total of 4 years. You know, those 4 years built a foundation for me, a great foundation for my life. And I thank God for them, and I look back, and it's 40 years ago, but the things I learned, the friendships that I still have from 40 years ago. So, in my last semester at Miami Christian, which was 1983, I started volunteering with an organization called Youth for Christ. And so I volunteered with them, and then I graduated, like I said. And then here I am, 83, in the summer, now what? Okay, where do I go now, Lord? A friend of mine at YFC told me that there were opportunities of ministry with YFC, as I said, Youth for Christ organization. So, and what attracted me to the organization, they have many outreaches, but one was that they ministered to inner city kids. And I was moved by that ministry. And, I wasn't a troubled kid, so... not really, myself, so I didn't know if I could connect with these kids, okay? So he says, okay, there's no opportunities for you. And I said to my friend, this is what I said, I don't know if I'll be able to connect with these kids. I'm not too sure. Gary was his name. And he asked me a question, and this question. Let me say it first. Do you think you can build a relationship with a kid? I'll never forget him asking that. And I said, I do believe I can. You know what he said to me? This job's for you. Okay. And I often think if I'd said, or if he had said no, where I'd be. I'm not too sure. So it was a very pivotal time in my life, talking about direction. And so, I'll never get that. Like I said, for 40 years ago, I headed down to Miami, and 30 years ago, okay, and here I am 37 years later, okay? I've been with Youth for Christ for 37 years. It's unbelievable. I can hardly believe it. I mean, 30 years, 37 years. I'll never regret it. Never, never, never. Oh, yeah, I've had my moments. Everybody has their moments. Maybe I'm sure all of you had your moments, right? Yeah. Every day. But you know what? I will never regret making this choice. Yes. Okay, so at the present time, I go into the detention center. We have a detention center where these kids are isolated. And I go there 3 nights a week. Okay, so I go Monday night. Kids are at school during the day, so in the center. Okay, and so I go in the evening. And I go 3 nights, like I said. Monday, I go into what I call Mod 1, Mod 3 scenario. Tuesday, Mod 6. And Thursday, Mod 7. So in each of these areas, there's sometimes 15 to 25 kids. It depends on what's going on in the streets of Miami. It's, the summer, it seems that the kids are out and free, and they're into more criminal activity, and there's more kids in the center. But I go 3 times a week, and within a given month, and I said, share this humbly, I probably talk to close to 100. There's 100 different kids that are there. 100 souls. Souls that need to hear this, need to hear the message. And so I head off there. Now, these kids have done serious crimes. The ones they detain are very serious crimes. They're like sometimes murder, carjacking, home invasions, robbery, robberies with a gun. These are the kids. And they're mainly Afro-American and Latin kids. Actually, white folk down in Miami are the minority. But that's okay. We share the gospel with them. Again, these kids need new hearts. They need a new heart. We all need new hearts. And so I share the transforming gospel that can change their lives. The stories I've heard, and they seem like they're in a pit because of all their decisions. And I share the gospel. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have several young men who share their stories of redemption with these teens. They formerly were involved in gangs and crime and activity. They come in and share about the transformation Christ has done in their lives. So I'm going to share about one young man. And talk about excited. And I'll tell you, I hear the story, you'll know why I'm excited about this one young man. His name is Angel. There's a lot of angels down in Miami. Okay. So, actually, at this particular time, he's coming in and sharing his story. But I met him at 16. He's 30 now, okay? You got it? I met him at 16. And he became a Christian when I shared the gospel with him at that time. And I don't remember it. He never made contact with me at that time. So it happened. Okay. And finally, in 2015, 10 years later, I meet him. At that particular time, he was going to Trinity. There's a Trinity down in Miami. and he was going to the university there. And he says to the professor there, "Hey, I got saved in juvenile. And the professor says, "Do you remember who it was?" He says, "Yeah, I remember. Some white dude. Light eyes." And he shared the story about his mom. "I remember. Okay, I met him in 2005. I only saw him that once. And I don't even recall it. And here we are, it's 2015. So, what we did was, I talked to him. And I said, "Let's meet." So we met at a Denny's. And I had to know what he looked like. He can't remember what I looked like. So it was quite the deal, you know. So I'm sitting down. And in walks this gentleman. And I see him. And I go, "Wow." I hugged him and I hugged him. We sat down and talked for a few hours. It was amazing. One time I shared the gospel. I says, "What was it? What?" He said, "Your story, your simple little story about your mother and how she shared the gospel with you. It touched me." I go, "Wow." You ever been in a situation like that? I go, "Wow, this is amazing." So we met up, like I said. Yeah, he told me his story, and again, my heart was full of joy, as it is this morning as I share this. I can't contain the joy right now of sharing this. Saved at 16. You know, after he was 16, okay, he had a serious drug problem, and he was still struggling, and he went to a Christian Christian rehab center connected to a church. He went for 1 year. And it helped him tremendously. It really, really did. So he went there. It helped him spiritually. He's now involved in a church. He's graduating from Trinity University. This 6-year-old kid that I met is now graduating. He just graduated this year with a master's in psychology and counseling. The last few years, he has been volunteering coming in as a juvenile. But guess what? You want to hear the good news? You want to hear the good news? He is becoming a staff of Youth for Christ starting in September. I'm excited! This 16-year-old and one encounter, and he's coming and he's just dynamite with the kids. He's dynamite. So, that's why I'm excited. I'm excited about, you know, what God has done in my life, but You just would love him. He's outgoing. He knows how to talk to the kids. He's just great. So, yeah. As I review life and all that God has allowed me to do for him, I shout hallelujah. I thank him for choosing me to be an ambassador for his kingdom. Okay, here's another little story, okay? And about another young man. His name was Richard. Okay. 15 years ago. So that would be, 2014. No, 2004. Right? Yeah, 2004. He had gone to prison. I'd met him at 14, and he was 23, and he'd gone to prison. Yeah, you know, when he got saved, he truly, you know, this Richard truly got saved. And it was such a struggle for him. Some of the time he went back into home, his brothers were robbing, stealing all the time. His brother was doing home evasions. His dad was a drug dealer. But he'd call me, pick me up for church. And he did very well, but when he was 20, he listened to the lies of the enemy, and he did a major crime. And after I'd been worked with him 8 years, and I heard him sent to 22 years. I'll never forget it. And you go, why? Why, Lord? Have I just wasted my time? Well, again, like I'm saying, 15 years ago, he was in prison. And okay, let me just continue. He's finding out. He's been out for 6 years. It's been a tough 6 years. But I'm pleased to announce that he is becoming an electrician. Yeah. He calls me Papa. Papa, how you doing? I'm just chilling. You know, it's just amazing. He texted me this morning because he's working. And he says, I'm going to work. I love you. So it's an amazing thing. But when he was in prison, I went up to see him. And I did a lot of visits. I'm too old to do this visiting prisons and driving up. I'd have to spend 3 hours driving to the prison. I wait 1 hour to see him. And then he'd come out. I'd spend another 3 hours talking to him. I'd spend another 3 hours driving home. And I was exhausted, do you understand? And before bed, now this is key. Before I went to bed, there was a devotion near my bedside. I said, let me just read something. And I picked it up. If you want to turn to it, it's Acts 26. And it's Paul before Agrippa, King Agrippa. Okay, starting verse 12. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus. So he's speaking to King Agrippa. With the authority and commission of the chief priests, about noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And you see Paul's response here. Or no, he says, well, who are you, Lord? And the response is, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. The Lord replied, now get up, stand on your feet. I have prepared to you to appoint you as a servant, as a witness of what you have seen. I will show you many great things. I'll rescue you from your people and from the Gentiles. Okay, this is what really I zeroed on these following words. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes . Turn from darkness to light. That's what needs to take place to get a new heart. And from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by the faith to me. And I read that night, and I sensed the Lord saying to me, I say this humbly, you've been doing this one, and I want you to do it for the rest of your life. Sharing a gospel that can open up their eyes. These kids, they need their eyes open. They're blinded. They are blinded to all the streets have to offer. And I keep telling them, you know what? They're gonna know what they finally offer you? Death or in prison. We share. And sharing about, here, you got to turn from the streets. And you have to turn to Christ. From the darkness to the light. From the power of Satan to God. Let me just see. I tell you, when I go in, I got 25 kids. And I've done it so often, you know. I'm not intimidated by any teenager. And so I go in. And there's maybe some I know and some I don't. And a lot of times I call my homeboys that are going to share. I say, I'm here. We're here because we want to be here. We got great news for you. News that can change your situation. God has a great story for you. God loves you. And you can change your community in a positive way. I've got good news for you. But you know what? There's an enemy. He wants to destroy your life. Kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy you. And I'm going to use this. I get a piece of paper like this. You know what he wants to do? See, that's your life. First, you don't feel it. You think you're having a great time. I said, but this is it. You know what I want to do? I throw it on the floor. That's what I want to do. What do you want? You want this? Or do you want to hear the Lord play? Come to me. I want a relationship with you. I have a plan for you. A plan to bring me into your life. A challenge. Yeah. So, I guess the challenge, my challenge is, you know, that's my desire to keep going there. And I'm not going to retire. People say, well, when are you going to retire? I'm doing less administration work, but I can't get enough of this, of sharing the gospel with these needy kids. God has placed it in my heart, okay? And I say it very humbly. You know, all believers, he wants all believers to sense their call. We all have a call. If you're a believer, you have a call. We are ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5, 20. What a privilege. What a privilege to be an ambassador and to be able to share the good news. A few years ago, I was in New York, and I went up for a conference. It was Hillsong United, and the pastor of the church there in Australia, Brian Houston. So I really wanted to go up and experience that. It was something. There must have been 5,000 people there and a lot of young people that were willing to put 2 or 3 days. I think it was 2 days, three, maybe 2.5. They were there. I'm going. And everyone I saw, every young person that I met, you're doing a great choice to be here. You're making a great choice to be here this weekend. Because you know what? You can listen to the word and it can change your life. Anybody that I saw. You know, I just get talking. And so, okay. So when I was there, I chose to buy a book written by him called I Was Born for This Cause. I thought, man, you know what, I can read this. I want to read this. As I read it, Brian Houston, you know, in the book mentioned that as a young man, he wanted to be a pastor. So that's what had placed. He senses God had placed that call in his life at that particular time. So, and then he also shared in the book the incident in John 18:37. And what that portion says, okay, Pilate and Jesus. Pilate says to Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, I was born for this cause. That's my purpose. I'm here. I was born for this. And I thought, wow. Wow. You know, as I leave the center, the detention center, I often say to myself, as I leave, rejoicing, I was born for this. That's why I'm alive. I truly, truly believe that. That's why I'm alive. And I want to continue on sharing. You know, sharing with, and I've had the opportunity to share with thousands of teenagers and that God has a plan for them. Yeah, 37 years. I say I'm in my sweet spot. I'm in my sweet spot. I believe God has a special call for each of us to minister in a certain area. We all have a spiritual gift, and His desire for us is to use it and to bring glory to His name. If you're a believer here, and I'm assuming you all are, I'm telling you, you have a spiritual gift. You have a special calling. And the challenge is tap into it if you're not too sure. If you're in it, just keep on going. I just want to share one more thing. And then I'll get the title, Who Would Have Ever Thought? Okay. We're looking at 1 Samuel. We see here, we see here 1 Samuel 16, and now Samuel's anointing David. And this is an amazing story. There, you know, let me read it. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn and oil with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king." Okay, so there was one son. Okay, but Samuel said, How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate.'" Okay? I know most of you know this story, but just try to think it through. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him and said, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, I'm in peace. Yeah, I come in peace. I've come to sacrifice the Lord. Concentrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he concentrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So when they arrived, Saul, I think it's Eliab, and thought, "Surely the Lord, Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord, here before the Lord." Okay, so he's looking like maybe he was a fine-looking gentleman. I'm not too sure, but whoa, this is the man. What did the Lord say? "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at what? The outward. The Lord looks at what? What? Jesse called, I think it's Ab and Dab, and had him pass in front of Samuel. Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." No. So he's there. And then Shammah passed by. Nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had the seven sons come before him, Samuel, and said, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Do you have another son? Do you have another son?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse said, "but he is what? Tending sheep." I guess his thought was, come on, you're not considering him. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for he is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of the brothers, and from the day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. What an amazing story. I finish with these few words here. David was a shepherd boy. No one would have considered him. Yeah. There's a song that was out a number of years ago, and it was this. Others saw a shepherd boy, but God saw a king. Others just saw a shepherd boy, but God saw what? A king. Yes, I was that shepherd boy. Most people wouldn't have chosen me for the ministry I'm involved in. Some of you, there's a few. I know Larry Reamer for years and years and years. I think we met when I was in my late teens. I may have been. And, saved at 10. Really sheltered. You know, nothing wrong with being sheltered, but I was really sheltered from a lot of stuff. I was shy. Most people would never consider me for what I'm doing. And I'm still in shock. I am. That I'm doing what I'm doing. But it's the God. I really give Him the praise and honor. I mean, it's Him working in me. And I'm just so glad He's chosen me to do this. Yeah, especially to be ministering to teenagers that have been involved in major criminal activity. But here I am. I rejoice in the fact. Okay, God has a plan for you. As I look back on my story, and there were some bumps, but I see the faithfulness of God. You know, the problem is sometimes we get tunnel vision regarding our story and everything. There's always a bigger story. God has a bigger story. And it's a good story. And keep that in mind as you're going through maybe these difficult times. Okay? And also, He wants to use you during those times. You know, to be able to share with others and to help others. Yeah. So, again, God has a plan for you no matter what season of life you're in. Okay, everybody's here at a different season. Okay? You're in a season. Continue to seek the Lord as to what you should be doing in this season. What do you want, Lord? I mean, what do you want, really? Other than come to Westminster. I mean, this is great you come here. But you got 6 other days. What do you want? What do you want me to do? And, okay. My prayer for us is that we will all be able to declare, yes, I was born for this cause. You look at your life. I was born for this cause. Or for this purpose. In this season of my life. Who would have ever thought? And maybe you're sitting there and you consider you're the shepherd boy, the shepherd girl. And you're saying, oh, what can God do with me? Let me tell you, you make yourself available, and He'll start revealing a plan. And when you, there's nothing brings me more joy when I know I'm doing what God wants. And then, like I said, when I come out of that detention center, sometimes it's been kind of rough, too. You know, it's not like every time there was one situation. I have a girl that helped me, a young woman. And it was a rough, rough time. I mean, you know, I don't know, I can't recall it, but it was like, and she walks out with me. And you know what? I felt like leaving halfway through the time. I said, her name's C. I know, C. It was a difficult one. But you know what? You know, there are going to be the difficult ones. The majority of the times, right, C, because she comes down. So, I leave you with this. I say God bless you and your fellowship here. And thank you for the opportunity of sharing my story. God bless you.